Now we're going to go on to Serie A, and the Italian national team will start off first. Carmen, it seems like I always ask you about these two, but they both got on the score sheet. They're both consistent. Berardi, Belotti. Is this a real important step in their development now and a real important look for the Italian national team?
You know what? There's a lot of praise and much earned praise for the group and Mancini right now. And obviously they haven't lost a game in, I don't know, over 20 games, maybe 21 now. They're top of the group, top of a tough group in Nations League. And they're into that semifinal, the final four group against with Belgium and Spain and France. So, you know what? But everything's saying that the big tests still need to come. The big tests are still coming. I mean, their football has been just amazing. It's so lovely to watch them play, and the goals they scored were fantastic goals, from distribution to the buildup to, and it's definitely an identity of football. Right now you could say that they remind me of the old Spanish teams with the amount of possession they have, the amount of creativity from their wing backs, their distribution in the middle third. They have Belotti, who's playing like a David Villa at his prime. So I think that I still, putting my coach's hat on, I still think that these young guys need to be tested at the when things are on the line, right? When things are on the line means quando culos, it tenses a bit, yeah? So right now, there's nothing to lose. Right now, their mentality is very loose. And the players are you know, there's a lot of players. There's been a lot of rotation and the players are kind of gone, and credit to Mancini that they've gone with this kind of looseness and whatever happens type mentality. And, you know, you look at Acerbi and you just look at the motivation of players that, you know, in the past they've said that haven't been good enough, who have been playing fantastically. So there's definitely, it's all positive right now. Let's see how they react to when things don't go so well. Let's see how they react when they get through, you know, game four of the group stage in the Euros, where they need to win the game to go through, or in the quarterfinals where they're playing, France or Spain or Germany, and they need to be better without the ball. So there's all kinds of question marks still, even though it's been fantastic and it's been, you know, just oozing with aestheticism and oozing with talent and, you know, but there's still a lot more testing of the substance that I'd like to see.
Is there something where they're going to, like, could we see a three-man attack in Italy? It seems odd that, like, especially the style of play they've had for decades now. Do you think that Insigne, Berardi, Belotti could be something that we see on a more frequent basis?
Yeah, you could. I mean, they have the old man too there that was supposed to start last game, the Caputo. He was supposed to be, and he's kind of the normal target. But again, it's Mancini understanding what the best Italian squad is, and it's not with that target nine. It's not with the three and then the one. It's with players that can get at you. It's with attacking midfielders that can attack spaces and distribute into spaces. So it's this type of players that the Italians have developed right now. And it's very, like I said, it's nice to see, but they're going to need that punto di riferimento, that number nine sometimes to be a number nine, right? Because they're going to need that physical ability, the physical presence to win balls, and we've seen it at different levels. Even watching the U21 Italian team yesterday, they still kind of have that through Scamacca, and so. There's going to be use for it. They need to find it in their arsenal. But right now, the best Italian teams are those teams that are direct, the teams that go right at you, the teams that can dribble at you, can run by you. And we have players that can put balls into space and balls in behind back fours, like we have seen.
Yeah. And it's going to be another interesting test, because as this goes on, as Berardi gets more reps under his belt there and gets more games on the national team, he's going to make a case for himself, especially in that attacking group. You got Insigne, you got Immobile, Belotti. So it's going to be real good football, good test for him. But going on to the Serie A, they're back in action this weekend. A lot of matches, Crotone, Lazio, Atalanta trying to go back to the top of the table with Spezia, Roma, Parma, and the big one, Napoli, Milan. So I'll start off with that. Could AC Milan, could we be talking about them extending their point differential at the top after this weekend?
I mean, first and third, right? Sassuolo would be almost tied with Milan, second place. But I mean, again, you have a fresh Zlatan, who's been in Milanello the whole week training and working. You have a mostly fresh group there, that not a lot of them left that international for international duty. But I think, and then on the other hand, you have a lot of Napoli players that were with their national teams, whether it's Dries Martens with Belgium and company. But I still think the sharpness of AC Milan is still there. I think their method and style of play is still superior to anyone else. But again, we've said that Napoli's they're going to lose this game for sure, or they're going to lose that game for sure, or they're in tough against this team. But they've reached a certain level with Gattuso, where aesthetically it's not the most beautiful situation, but they play the strengths, they find it most efficient actions, and they find goals and ways to win. So I can't pick a winner, but I do think that. The AC Milan is a little fresher, although Kessi had to play for in the Africans Cup. Yeah. So there's still a little bit, and we're going to see the depth of Milan this week for sure. But I still think that Milan's continuity, youthful exuberance, and kind of bought inness is going to be a lot to deal with for Napoli.
Yeah, he brought up Sassuolo there, and one of the players who's going to have to deal with that is Berardi, coming back to that international break against Inter. This is a huge game for Sassuolo, just to establish themselves, I think, in the top three, to really make a statement against a team who, on paper, probably the best in Serie A right now. So if you're Sassuolo, do you have to change your tactics a little bit just to get any point possible here, or is this going to be something where Inter takes control?
Well, I think it's a bigger game for Inter than it is Sassuolo. But again, other than maybe Perisic in a different position, or some of the personnel being tweaked a little bit. By the way, you saw what Bastoni could do in a back four as a center back as well, not only as a left back in a three. It's going to be the predictability of Inter Milan, because Conte's not going to change, and how Sassuolo kind of is a step ahead of everything tactically, and a step ahead in exploiting the problems that Inter Milan have had since Conte got there. Right? They haven't adjusted. They haven't changed their mentality, really. They've relied on the same pattern movements, the same pressing, the same type of defending, and they've been caught on the counter too many times, because their back three is not as versatile as Conte may think, and they can't really deal with situations, and their activity or actions in defending the counter in the midfield has been kind of not suited to who they are. Like, whether it's Barella wants more of the ball, Barella wants it in the final third. He doesn't want to have to deal with counteractions all the time, or he doesn't want to have to deal with finding Lukaku's feet all the time. So there's situations where I think that Inter Milan is going to be very predictable. I think that Inter and Sassuolo knows this, and they've had time to prepare for this. And do they have enough to exploit it? And are the players of like Lukaku and Martinez, Is this fatigue going to set in? You know, that's another question of they've been pretty much across the world. Well, Lukaku less than Martinez, and Martinez has been playing meaningful games in the qualifying. So we will see, but we will, like, it's the one thing that we know isn't going to be changed is the Inter Milan tactics, and Sassuolo is going to be prepared for them. And Sassuolo will be probably a step ahead in attacking, finding spaces to attack Inter Milan.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about Juve versus Benevento, but yeah, Benevento, if they're looked at as a favorite in this game, I don't know, some bookies are going to be happy. But speaking of Juventus, 25 years ago yesterday, there was a big anniversary, the first game of Gianluigi Buffon's career. You spoke on how his career actually began in Toronto in the past. A nice story. Have you ever seen any other Buffon games live?
Actually, no. I watched him train in Ottawa Saga Inn, and you could tell right away that there was something special about this, about Buffon, just in his training habits compared to the training habits of at the time of Luca Bucci, but who was getting up in age, but still fighting for the Italian national team spot, or he was one of the second or third keepers, and Giuseppe Galli at the time. You could see that he was special. You could see that not only physically, but his explosivity as a goalkeeper. It was just, and the one thing you always noticed about Buffon, that to a credit and to his mental strength, is that he was always enjoying it. To last this long and to be at the level that he is, he always had a smile on his face when he was 17 training at Ottawa Saga Inn to what he does right now. So I guess that's the key. I guess that's the key, that he keeps enjoying the camaraderie, he enjoys the training, he enjoys the whole life of it. Because, you know, as a footballer, when that goes away, you're in trouble. You know, when you're just playing for a paycheck or playing just to continue, then that's in trouble. But you never see that from Buffon, whether he's on the bench animated or whether he's on the field and concentrated. So, you know, again, the epitome of what professionalism should be as far as preparation, and the epitome of what someone's as far as Arnone would like this, as far as mindset, you know, and as far as the lightness of being. All right, enjoying the moments. That's in, like, from you could see that from like a 17-year-old self at Ottawa Saga to his, you know, 40-plus-year-old self playing in the Champions League, and just taking it all. You know, the saying, you suck the marrow out of life. Buffon has sucked the marrow out of everyone he's played against, and you could see the respect, and you could see the love, and you could see the total. Loving of his professional career. So, you know, he's incredible. They should build a statue of what happiness in sport and work should be for him.
Yeah, definitely. Co-sign on that one. Buffon, like, he literally has been playing against some of guys who started their career in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Like, he's a guy who's a multi-generational talent. And just to even still play this long, even when it looked like Juventus didn't want to have him, they told him, you know, retire. He goes to PSG. Then after he finds an opportunity, they bring him back, and he extends even for another year. So for him to stay this long just shows his importance in the room. And I think if you're like Mancini, do you look at that and say, okay, there's going to be two tournaments, 2021, 2022. Do you bring Buffon for the Euro?
You know what? You ask Donnarumma. Are there good young Italian keepers that could definitely use this experience? 1,000%. But does Mancini really believe that this team could win right now? Then you bring Buffon just for the mentorship, for, you know, the been through it type of mentality that you could give to Donnarumma. So my answer would be based on the comfort level of your starting keeper, number one. Will he be a good mentor? Obviously he would be. But I think that it's a no-brainer. The only thing is, it's going to take away from that experience of a lot of good young keepers that are in Italy right now.
And like Buffon too, like if you were to go back, I guess, to the national team, it would be, I guess, a better taste in his mouth leaving it, because the last game he played is when they lost that World Cup qualifier. And I know he wanted to probably play in that World Cup and then officially call it a career, but that World Cup, I think, left a bad taste in his mouth. And if you go back to his last performance in the Euro 2016, he really willed Italy on, penalty shootout to Germany. Nothing can really do on that. But if he were to come back, would it, and it, let's say Donnarumma, for whatever reason, couldn't play and Buffon comes in, does that make Italy a liability, or does that make it a calming presence in the back?
I mean, I don't think there'll be questions if the situation arises. But you do want a keeper there that, well, I mean, for the national team, it might be a different story. But, you know, he only plays one every four games, maybe four or five games. So there's a lot of arguments for and against. But again, when those Euro Cups and that World Cup come about, it's going to be times where keepers kind of be at par. Not that they won't, like, for a keeper, you go through your reps and you find a continuity and a consistency and a level of confidence, and you go with that. But there's, after that lull, whether it's a week, whether it's 2 weeks, whether it's a month, whatever it will be between the season and the Euro Championships, it's a restart. It's a restart physically. It's a restart mentally. There's not really, you can't really say that one keeper is going to be better than the other, because it's a restart. And you know what? The mental strength to get right in it. After the group stage, then you're back in it. You're back into the routine. You're back into the rhythm of things and the continuity of things. But for a keeper, even that lull, even that week, even that 2 weeks is really, and does Buffon have the mental strength to come in and be the man and know what it's going to take to be that consistent person, consistent goalkeeper presence for the national team if called upon? Absolutely. Does it make the most sense right now? Not so sure.
I just hope he never retires. You know, he's gone this long. Let's just keep going until you're 50.